Escape to the exotic beauty of Morocco with our exclusive small group tours. Experience intimate group sizes that ensure personalized attention and unforgettable adventures. From the enchanting streets of Marrakech to the serene beauty of the Sahara Desert. Forge friendships that last a lifetime while immersing yourself in Morocco's rich culture, vibrant traditions, and warm hospitality. Book your small group tour with Destination Morocco today. Experience the intimacy of a private tour at an affordable price. Go to our website, destinationsmorocco.com, that's destinations with an S, morocco.com, and reserve your spot today. Welcome to the Destination Morocco podcast, the show that takes you away to the beautiful country of Morocco. I am your host, Azzedine El Moustakim. In each episode, we explore Moroccan culture, history, attractions, and activities. Real and practical information coming from experienced travelers and native Moroccans like myself. And now, let's go exploring.
How are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm excited to head back to Fez.
Oh, we are.
We've been doing kind of series of episodes, and we haven't really focused on Fez. It certainly shows up in lots of places, but, you know, in terms of like real dedicated series of episodes. So that's why we thought, hey, it's time. Let's talk some more about Fez. And yeah, it brings back great memories because we were there, my family and I, just over a year ago now, and it was one of the most memorable stops of our trip. It was amazing being right in the heart of the Medina, experiencing it all. We were there for 3 days. And you guys, of course, were there too last summer on your big tour as well. So it's fresh memories for all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So we figure we do a little bit of kind of a bit of background history, you know, what makes Fez so unique and special and things like that. But we'll also talk about some practical tips, things people can see and do. This follows up a bit on our most recent episode, which came out March 11th, which is also a bit of an overview of Fez. That was more structured around, say, if you had a 4-day itinerary and 4 days basically and what you could do. So we're going to kind of expand on that, and I'm sure a lot of this will go together, and much of it's thanks to the questions we've had from our listeners and viewers. So thanks very much, people, for sending stuff in.
Absolutely.
I made a few notes about some history, but of course you guys know more than me, so you can fill in some of the gaps. But I was interested, well, maybe tell me if this is true. So I learned that the city's name may refer to the Arabic word for pickaxe. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Yes. That yeah, one of the stories. Yeah.
Okay. And this goes back, what, I mean, 1,200, 1,300 years or something? I mean...
Yeah, it's not already 12 centuries because we talk about a country, not about a city. Mm-hmm. So Fez is a city in Morocco. So Morocco dated back to the more than 20,000 years ago. So the coming of the Idrisi dynasty to Morocco to talk about this and to give it its name exactly, which is pickaxe or something like that. Or just
Okay. Yeah, and that's interesting context too, you know. And I mean, it's easy to say, well, 1,000 or 1,300 years ago, of course, is a long time. But in the context of 20,000, 30,000 years, it's practically yesterday.
Yeah.
But all that being said, I mean, I think in modern terms, it is one of the older maybe settlements with an ongoing footprint, you could say, in Morocco, like it's been settled all those many centuries. So I do remember when we were there that in our part of our walking tour, and I think I'll try to pull up a map here too, maybe, because we can share a screen and stuff. I remember a bit of the river that goes through the old part of the city, the old Medina, which is the River Fez. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's kind of hidden underground and stuff now, but there's parts where it pops out. And originally the city was founded on both sides of this river, and it kind of eventually grew into one big city, really, as we know now.
Yes, that's right. That's correct. The name maybe comes from the name of the river, which is called Fez, or also came from the Berber or the Amazigh word, Aifes, which is the right side of the river. And Fez also comes from the right side of the river, which means Aifes. Fez, which means the right hand. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So is it fair to say the famous one is the Karawin Mosque, Al Karawin Mosque?
It's yeah, definitely
university.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest. Some say it's the oldest in the world.
Yeah, the Qarawiyyin University used to be a mosque in the beginning, and then when the Idrisid comes to Morocco, they took Fez as the capital. Then the Qarawiyyin University started to be a madrasa, a Quranic school. Then they developed to be a university because all the Moroccans and other Islamic countries, they came to Fez to learn and about the religion, especially from this university. This is how it became a university and the first one in the world.
Mm-hmm. So it's still going strong today?
Yes, and it's still maintained today. And right now in Morocco, they created like affiliates for this university in each big city in Morocco. Like, for example, in Marrakesh, we have Kulliyat Sharia or the College of Islamic Religion Studies. In Agadir, we have it in Rabat, we have it in Tangier, we have it everywhere in Morocco, and all they belong to the mother university, which is Al Qarawiyyin.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
If people want to visit, is it open to the public? Can people go in and do a tour?
For the tourists, for the travelers, no. It's not allowed to get inside. It's not a visited mosque. No.
Yeah. Right. Can you see much from the outside when you walk around?
You can see a little bit. Yeah, you can see a little bit. You can take pictures. They might let you just take a few steps, maybe, but you won't get into the court. I mean, the courtyard, you're not going to be able to go into.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, now, here's another thing. So I was reading that by the 12th century, Fez was one of the largest cities in the world, around 200,000 people, they say, which is massive for that time. And another one of the famous things is the madrasa, the Bouenania madrasa.
Bouenania madrasa, yes. Which is created by the Sa'diyyin dynasty during their rule in Fez. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that because when we were there, we walked through one of the famous gates.
Yes. Yeah. And this gate, just to give the audience a little bit of perspective, this is what we talked about. The color for Fez is the blue, and this is basically what this is the blue color of Fez. So when you walk through that gate and you turn around, you'll see the same thing, but instead of the blue color, it's the green color. And the green color, that's it. So the green color, it's for Islam and peace.
And that's one of those famous views when you're going into the city, to the Medina, and you see the minaret there in the madrasa, right?
Yeah, exactly, yes. From there you head directly to the Qarawiyyin and to the tanneries and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Okay, and then I want to talk about the Jewish Melach, which is near the royal palace, right?
Yeah, it's part of it is attached to the royal palace on one side, and across the street, which is, it's a small street. The Melach was placed next to the royal palace, that way there's a protection from the king at that time, so nobody bothers the Jewish community at that time.
Remember those windows there?
Yes.
You go nice by the balconies and the windows, yes?
Yes, and those windows are that way because at that time, people, they don't want to show off what they have. They're very modest. Oh, yeah. They don't want you to peek to what's inside their houses. But once you go inside the house, it's a beautiful, beautiful garden, Riyadh's houses, magical. Mm. I mean, from banana trees to citrus trees to water fountains, it's just, you cannot tell that that's a house. But those are the old Riyadh's. And we were very fortunate to have had, Mullah Hafid as a guide. And we did an extensive tour in the Jewish quarter. Then we went to a synagogue. Oh, my God, the hospitality, the people, they were just beyond incredible to us and amazing. Then from the terrace, you can see it looks right to the Jewish cemetery. And it's just, it's a very touching moment. I mean, you will feel it. When you do that site, when you do the Jewish quarter, you go to the synagogue, and you go to the roof, it's beyond incredible. When you go into the cemetery, it's open to anybody to go in.
And the cemetery is very clean, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very clean and well organized.
Mm-hmm. We did this, probably a lot of people do, when they drive in. Now, you might come from the southeast, but there's a good chance you'll be coming from like Meknes and the big expressway highways, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So you drive in. I remember going through here, these boulevards in the Ville Nouvelle, and it's like big modern buildings and condos and shopping malls and stuff. Yes. And then you go around this corner and down the hill, and you go back about 600 years.
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
Yeah.
And you can see it on the map. Yeah, it's very,
Yeah, Fez was the capital. And people might know this, but Fez was the capital of Morocco till 1912. And then the French moved it to Rabat. I was wondering, is probably entrenched now, but was there ever talk about them moving the capital back to Fez?
I don't think so that it will go back to Fez, because it was in Fez in the beginning with the Idrisid dynasty, then it's moved to Marrakech, then it's moved to the other cities. There is many attempts to get it back to Fez during the last century with the king Hassan II, but he insisted that Rabat have to maintain the main political capital of Morocco for now.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point, though, because you have these palaces and kind of government buildings in all the big cities. Right, I mean Casablanca and Marrakesh, and Fez is a good example too.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a good question we got. Now, essentially, I paraphrase a bit, but other cities have medinas, palaces, distinct cuisine, craftsmanship, and across Morocco, what makes Fez unique?
I would say number one is the people, the craftsmanship, the pride that craftsmanship do and take to learn the skill that it's passed through generations. There are certain things that only the Fassi people can really do in Morocco. When we're talking, you know, about ceramic, when we're talking about leather, even carpets. It reminds me of the visit that we did, Sam, during the summertime to the ceramic shop. I mean, for me, that was beyond incredible experience. It was mind-blowing. I mean, it was just magical. Mm-hmm. Everything they have done, and I mean, the tour was well done, yeah. Well organized. Yeah. The steps, making this and that and so forth. Then what fascinating, it was just one of the most amazing first impressions for me. We had that gentleman greet us, and then he took us to this master ceramic, I forgot the name that he's called, and he made the bottom of the tagine, live, you know, like in just right there, like in 30 seconds. Then he made the top. There's no measurements, just by his hand. And then he put the top, you know, in the bottom part, and it fits perfectly. I mean, for me, I was like, this is impossible. But then it took him years and years, and I don't know how many tries, probably hundreds, if not thousands. So that's what really makes Fez, and also Fez holds a lot of Moroccan traditions that in other cities, they're gone.
Absolutely. Besides what Azdin just said about Fez, we can talk about food, what makes Fez unique when it comes to food, especially pastilla or pastilla. In Arabic, when it comes to the salads, the pastries as well, Fez is just unbelievable. Traditions, especially during the weddings, Fez is unique rather than other cities in Morocco, because as Tim just said, they still keep and still maintain many traditions that is almost distinct from the other cities in other parts in Morocco.
So the things that only happen in Fez, at least in terms of weddings.
Absolutely, yes.
Fez, I mean, it's Fez, you could say Fez, it's probably its own New York. You know, it's things that they do in Fez, they are very unique, very different, very related to Fez. Even the music is just beyond amazing. It's incredible. It's very different.
Is it different instruments or just different ways they play
it? It is different instruments and a different way of singing. It is different lyrics, different, everything is different. It's just, it's incredible. Yeah,
talking about the music, for example, which is called the music El Melhoun. It's a traditional Andalusian Moroccan music. It exists in Tetouan, in Tangier, in Chefchaouen as well. But the one in Fez is very unique and very famous. This is why they celebrate the International Festival of Spiritual Music in Fez each year.
Yeah, I saw something about that. The Museum of the Festival of Sacred Music.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you find with your tours, when people are making inquiries, put their itinerary together, are they showing interest in going to Fez?
Oh, 100%. If the north side of Morocco is part of their itinerary, Fez is a must. You know, I said this to many people many times, and I am from Marrakech, but I love Fez, and who wouldn't? I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful city. So, and I said this as well, when if you have one day to spend in Morocco, spend it in Fez. You know, some might say Marrakech, but for me, I would say Fez, because it's, again, when I say Fez, I really mean the culture. I mean, the old
heritage.
Yes, the heritage. It's everything. Marrakech is still good. It's an amazing, beautiful, beautiful city. And in terms of tourism, it always ranks every year top five globally, every year.
Yes.
But, you know, not to take anything away, but Fez is definitely culturally and holding to the culture. Definitely Fez is more than Marrakech.
Close your eyes and imagine the warmth, desert breeze kissing your skin as you wander through the narrow streets of Marrakesh. Feel the excitement as you lose yourself to the vibrant colors of the souks, where every corner holds a treasure waiting to be discovered. Experience the thrill of adventure as you traverse the majestic Sahara Desert on camelback, with nothing but endless dunes stretching before you. Experience Morocco. Feel alive. Get 15% off all small group tours. Visit our website, destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com. Use the word 15 as a discount code at checkout and reserve your spot today.
I agree 100%, because the people of Fez, they just work hard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Every day and night to keep mm-hmm. the city the best and to the top. For example, for the entrance fees to the monuments, to the historical monuments in Morocco, they all added extra fees to the monuments except in Fez. In Fez, they kept it as it is, only $1, $2 as an entrance fees to the historical monuments. Unlike the other cities, they just between $7 to sometimes $12, sometimes $15, especially in Marrakesh and Casablanca.
Oh, well, that's good. And do you guys know the story of the hat? So here's the thing, because that was my impression before I learned all this stuff, like, oh, Fez is the hat, the square hat, right? Which I did look up later. I mean, that was popularized at least in Turkey, in Ottoman Turkey. But there's a connection, I think, in that the hats were made in Fez, the city, or the leather came from there or something like that. Do you guys know any of that story?
The hat originated in Fez, not in Turkey, as I read in book histories. And they are not the same, by the way. If you see that ones in Turkey and the ones in Morocco is totally different in terms of the shape.
Yeah,
because the ones in Turkey is just wide like that, and the ones in Fez is narrow, and it's originally from Morocco.
At that time of the Ottomans, they tried to occupy Morocco, and at that time, the king was
Mulay Ismail.
I keep forgetting the name. Thank you. So, and that war kept going for 80 years or so, fighting the Ottomans on the east and the pirates on the west. And many things were happening at the same time. So probably the Ottomans, they saw the hats at that time because of that, and they tried to make their own. But like Sam said, they are very different, very unique. The ones in Morocco are unique to us, to our culture. The ones in Turkey, they are a little bit long, pointy, and they look not quite similar, but they are different. So.
Mm-hmm. And the colors as well. The one in Turkey is black, and the one in Morocco is red.
Red.
Yeah, referred to the Moroccan flag. Yeah.
Yes, red and with the green thing.
It's like Moroccan flag. Yes. Green and red. Yeah.
Do people still wear them very often these days?
Especially
in the occasions, during the weddings, during the feast celebrations, during Ramadan.
Okay. All right, here's another question. Can you tell us more? Sam might know this. I think he talked a bit in that last episode. Can you tell us more about the funduks? And their significance? Or what is a funduk?
Funduk is like a building, a medieval caravanserai building designed.
Okay. Hold on. My apologies, Sam. The funduk, the name comes similar to funduk. Okay. We say it in Morocco, we say funduk, which is a hotel. But these are somewhat hotels, but they are different than hotels. Just to give you an idea, the first level is different than the other levels, but I would like Sam to explain the difference. But I just wanted to give that where the name came from, please, and I do apologize for the interruption.
Yeah, it's okay. So it's a medieval building designed as an urban hostel to host commercials, travelers, because it's like a meeting point between the caravans to sell their stuff, salt or gold for stuff.
Trade.
So the exchange of the gods in the past. So, as second floor used to be like rooms for the people, the travelers, where they can spend the night. And the first floor used to be like a place to tie their animals, especially horses and donkeys in the past.
Well, this is the Najarin Museum, which...
Yes, Najarin Museum, yes.
This is a museum that people can visit, which looks beautiful.
Wood arts, yes.
Right. But it's in a funduk, the yes. type of building.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, I'd heard the name. I didn't really know what the funduk was. So that's good to know. All right. Well, let's see. We got a couple more things here. Let's get into some practical questions for sure. Like, so should visitors always try and stay in the old Medina if possible? Or is there any advantages to staying in the new city, perhaps? Do you guys have opinions on that?
I would say stay in the old Medina because you really want to feel the city. And the best way is the old Medina. I mean, everything is walking distance. You can do so many things on your own. Just plan ahead of time and be safe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you stay in the old Medina because the Riyadh, which is the iconic authenticity of Moroccan accommodation, they are all in the old Medina. And the atmosphere in the old Medina is totally different than La Nouvelle Ville or the new city.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, you'll be staying at some 18th century Riyadh, 19th century Riyadh, 17th century Riyadh, and you can't get that anywhere else. So Fez has some of the most amazing Riyadhs in Morocco. And just when you're in Fez, take advantage of it. You don't have to stay in one Riyadh all the time, but you can, you know, make a reservation in a few if you like. But also Fez, everything they do, it's very exquisite. The attention to detail is just beyond incredible. Like Sam mentioned earlier, when the food, I mean, our last visit, we stayed at Riyadh Rita. They have gone above.
Yeah.
And I believe you stayed the same, Ted.
Yeah, we did.
And I remember the first time when we had dinner. I mean, the salad looks like it's dinner. I mean, just those small plates. And then the food kept coming and coming and coming. And it was like, wow, the hospitality is just, it's amazing. So
That was really neat. That was a highlight, just being there. Because, you know, you're through the Medina and the alleys and the labyrinth and all that. And I mean, it's fun. It can be a little claustrophobic because it's quite dark, even in the middle of the day, right? And the sun doesn't get quite down there and all the rest. And then, but you get back to one of your riads, and a lot of them would be like this, but this place was incredible. It's beautiful. It's just such a sanctuary in the Medina. It's quiet. It's safe. It's peaceful. Yeah. And you get up on the roof. I remember that we kind of drove in here initially. And here's a good thing to know, though, because you can't drive. You rarely drive right up to the door of a riad, right? Yeah. You have to walk. So it's good one great advantage, of course, of going with you guys anyways on your tours is that you'll always put people in riads if at all possible. Yeah. It's not going to be a big group tour that has to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
You'll stay in a riad. Right. So you'll make sure that the transport gets you as close as possible. I remember we would hang out in the mornings or the late afternoon on the rooftop patio here.
Yes. Yeah.
Looking out over the Medina is really cool. And like you hear all the hustle and bustle and everything, and the smells and so on down below, but we're up in our little cloud above the Medina. It's really cool.
Yeah. It is. It's really neat. And we did the same thing. I mean, the dinner, we had it at the terrace. It was just an incredible experience. Then we got to know the staff, you know, the ones that not on vacation because someday they go on vacation during summertime. So they were super nice to us. We got to know the maids. We got to know the people in the kitchen because we did a cooking class. It was just, we felt like, you know, we are part of their family. And it was just really, really, really neat. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll try to pull up some pictures here. The inside is beautiful too.
The Riyadh is not big. Most Riyadhs are not really big, but it's very personal experience. It's very intimate experience. And I remember the guys will wait for us until we come back from outside. Yeah. They're still up waiting for us and say, hey, can we serve you dinner now? And then they'll ask us in the morning. I mean, there were 10 of us in the tour, and they'll ask us, what time would you like your breakfast to be served? So, for example, I would say 9:30, Sam would say 8 o'clock. So each one of us will have his own or her own breakfast made to their specification. But they don't serve one breakfast all at one time because we are tired. I mean, we're very tired traveling and doing all kind of stuff. So that was kind of really unique and neat. So if somebody's early morning person, they want to have their breakfast at 7:30, they can. And they can go and, you know, just relax and do whatever they want to do until everybody finishes, then we can start the tour. So we really enjoy it and we're very grateful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to stay. All right. Well, let's see here. What else we got? That's the time. A couple more minutes. Oh, this is a good question. Should tourists consider flying into Morocco directly into Fez? There's an international airport. Is that worth considering? How big is it? Do you ever start any of your tours there?
That's a really good question. Yes, we do recommend to fly to Fez if they are coming from Europe. and we can start the tour in Fez.
Yeah, there is international flights because Fez airports, I think, is the fourth or fifth largest airports in Morocco. The airport is outside the Old Medina, by the way. It's like 25 minutes drive from the Old Medina.
Oh, yeah.
And there is low-cost flights and international flights as well.
So it is possible from the United States to fly there?
Not right now, but there will be international flights from US to Fez, but it will be in the future because they extended the airport.
So do people fly often between Marrakesh and Fez once you're in the country, or maybe vice versa, to save some time? Because you can see from the map, like to go from Fez, basically the fastest way is the expressway, right? All the way down through here to Marrakesh, and that's 5 or 6 hours or something, so to drive. So much faster to fly. Do a lot of people do that?
Yeah. Starting from January 2024, there is a new company that is doing a domestic or internal flights in Morocco. It's Ryanair.
Yes.
Oh, Ryanair. Okay.
Ryanair, yes. And there is many lines between the big cities, between Marrakech Fez, between Marrakech Tangier, Casablanca, Ouarzazate, El Rashidia, for example, and so on and so forth.
Could people, if they incorporate it into their itinerary and have the time, then can someone still request that, you know, say I would be happy to fly? And that's not a group tour, but, you know, a private tour or family or something.
Yes.
We'd rather fly from Fez straight to Marrakesh.
100%, yes. First to Marrakesh, whether they're doing Merzouga, first to Rashidiya. And we can have a different car meeting them, either in Marrakesh or in Rashidiya. Or where is that? You know, so, yeah.
If it's private, we can do it. It's very easy because there is always a driver assigned, or customers, for example, and they can take care of the luggage and they can fly it from airport to another. So the driver will take care of the luggage and just can take their carry-on at the airport.
That's
maybe in the future, if something changed with the low cost, for example, we will configure something out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like it's evolving, and it kind of comes back more broadly, you know, as the World Cup comes and other big events. Like, there's going to be a lot more of that infrastructure and things set up.
Yeah, definitely.
The last question I have here is about the climate, or essentially what to wear, and what is the climate like in Fez? What is the best time of year to visit?
Oh, summertime is very hot. It's very, very hot. I did not really know that the temperature can get that hot in Fez. But it gets really, really hot. And the best time to visit is springtime, March, April, May, September, October, November, first 2 weeks of December.
Does it get very cold there in the winter?
It does. Yeah, because of the mountains. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's close to the snowy mountains, snowy peaks of the Middle Atlas.
Right.
And it's very, very cold during winter. But it's not for a long time, for example. It could be like for a month or a month and a half. That's it. Yeah. But I suggest to visit it during, as Dean said, spring, because summer is just, because Fez is just inside, like, if you get inside the hall.
In
a bowl, so it's so hot during the summer. Yeah.
Do you get any air conditioning?
Yeah, there's air conditioning. Yeah, for sure, yes. I mean,
it's in car, it's in the accommodations, restaurants.
Okay.
It's just walking, you know. It's
walking,
it's a hilly city.
Yes.
There's a lot of walking, especially when you're doing the tour. When we did the cooking class, we did it around 11 a.m. I think we got back to the Riyadh maybe around 12:30. But I think I was wearing similar T-shirt to this one, and it looked really soaked up. I didn't feel that I was sweating, but it looked really wet.
Now walking to the Fez, it's very hard during summer.
Well, it's good to know, if people make an inquiry and want to know the best time.
Yeah.
Does that make it busier in the spring in terms of tourists, in the spring or fall? What's the busiest time for tourists?
March, April, May, and September, October, and November. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the peak season is the end of the year as well.
Yeah.
Around the holidays.
Yes.
Yeah,
Christmas and New Year's,
Christmas,
So I guess the answer is just to book as far ahead as you can to have the best selection.
Yes, I would say especially for the end of the year, Christmas, the holidays, because people, they think, oh, it's a Muslim country. No, there's a Muslim. It is a Muslim country, but there's a lot of celebrations at the end of the year. New Year celebration is big for Moroccans everywhere. And I remember this, you know, even being as a kid. So it's no different if you're trying to go at that time. you know, give yourself an average of 6 months to 9 months. That way you get really, really good rates. And also you have choices, because sometimes you wait too long. They don't have any single rooms or double rooms. They have suites, and suites can cost you know, three times. So yeah, just plan ahead and save a little bit more. Yeah.
Sure. So. Okay. Well, this has been good. It's been really nice to reminisce and get back to Fez. Inspire people to go. It's different. It really, part of this geography, you know, as I say, the hills, the size and the scale of the Medina, the culture and the food, like it feels different. It's a different experience. So I really hope people get the chance to experience it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So thanks, guys. We've got our next regular podcast episode will be an excerpt of the walking tour that you guys did when you were there, which I know is quite long. That may end up being two or three parts, but at least we'll have one of those parts in our next episode.
Absolutely.
So you'll really get to hear you guys walking around on the streets right there in the Medina. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, Ted, thank you so much. One episode that it's done a little bit different and I really, really enjoyed it is the Genoa. Music.
Yeah.
If you have not listened to it, it's a beautiful, beautiful episode. And at the end, the music that you hear, it's us. You can hear Sam talking. You can hear Imran talking as well.
Yes.
And Imran, he was with me. I was holding him and doing the interview. So when Mohammed said, I've been doing this since I was 8 years old, I was like, oh, I'm eight. So, but it's so funny. But the music, the way that you put everything together, it just came out incredible. Yes. I loved it. So
yeah, it's a fun episode. It's nice to get something a little different when I purposely let the music play for a bit longer, more
yes,
like
yes.
30
it
seconds.
Was, like, yes. Yeah. I
love the music,
Cool. Yeah. So definitely, you know, people head to our website. You can find the podcast in any of the apps. It's all the episodes are there. If you go to the website and the link is there at the top, destinationsmorocco.com/podcast, you can easily sort through. It's a bit more user-friendly to go through all those past episodes and choose the ones that are interesting. And each episode has its own page. You get links and other resources within each one. So lots of great information there. And of course, about your tours and the itineraries and things that you put together. So
yes,
it's all there on the site.
Yes, you can see that we have a really good selection of private tours that are pre-made. Then also we have a small group tour section. And those tours, the small group tours, it's going to be between 8 people to 12 people, no more. And also they are guaranteed departure, which means if there's two people that are booking, those two people will go for that tour. The minimum two people, they can go for the tour. It becomes really like a private tour more than a small group tour. And the reason why we're having the small group tour is because we want to keep the accommodations in Riyadh. So we still want you to feel that, you know, it's very intimate experience. It's very unique experience. It's a beautiful experience. So that's what I would recommend. In terms of value, the value is really in the small group tours. You'll save an average between $900 per person to about $1,200 per person.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend looking into those. And again, you can reach us, set up an appointment. We're here to answer any questions for you, me and Sam and the rest of the team. And thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next month.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have traveled the world, but Morocco's allure beckons you. Destination Morocco is here to create the perfect once-in-a-lifetime Moroccan journey, tailored exclusively to your desires. Let us craft an itinerary that unlocks the secrets of this mesmerizing land just for you. For a luxurious, bespoke Moroccan adventure of a lifetime, visit destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com. And let us turn your dreams into reality. Your amazing Moroccan experience awaits.